Welcome to the Mac Observer's Daily Observations Podcast. I'm Jeff Gamet. Today is Wednesday, April 6, 2016. With me today, I have Dave Hamilton. And how are you doing, Dave?
I'm great. Thanks for having me. It's always good to be here.
Yeah, it's great to have you. John Martellaro, I hope you're doing well, and it's awesome that you're here too.
Oh, thank you, and good morning, Dave.
Good morning, John.
Yeah. I thought that it would be fun to start in with the security topic. And what is bringing this up for me, it started yesterday when videos hit the web showing a way to use Siri to ask Siri to search for URLs on Twitter, and then use that as a way to access contacts and photos from a locked iPhone screen. And John, you, instead of looking at it from the perspective of this is a major security flaw, you looked at it from the perspective of Apple sometimes makes decisions that later on, when we discover what they've done, we question why they did that. Is that a fair assessment?
Yes.
Yeah. And yes. So that's
so
where we are.
It's not a security flaw, and that tends to grab headlines. So I tried to take a sane approach and try to analyze what's going on. And I had a discussion with our Adam Christensen about that yesterday. And his take was that convenience is important, and he couldn't live without Siri on the lock screen. I don't want to speak for him, but we got into an interesting discussion about, just as you mentioned today, is balancing security versus convenience. And his impression was that it's up to the customer to decide. And I disagreed. And the analogy that I thought of, for those skeptics out there, was you buy a new car and you take it to the grocery store and it's raining and you get out to your car and you put it in reverse and you hold your foot on the brake because you have to change gears, and you turn around to look and see if there's anybody behind you. And unbeknownst to you, there's a new feature in this car, which is on by default. So, of course, you'll use this feature. And that is, if you put your car in gear and you take a foot off the brake, the handbrake is released automatically for you as a convenience. So not knowing this because you didn't read the manual, your foot slips off the brake because there's water on your foot, and the car lurches back a foot before you can get your foot back on the brake, and you hit a little girl. So now you're in court, and the car company is saying, well, on page 452 of the manual, it describes this feature. You should have read the entire manual and you haven't been aware of that feature. So it's your fault for not knowing about this. So the motorist's attorney stands up and says, well, he had a reasonable expectation that the car would be immobilized if the parking brake was on. And no, he didn't read page 452 of the manual, but you didn't tell him to in the dealer. And he didn't read the September issue of Car and Driver, which explained it, because he doesn't subscribe to Car and Driver. So he had a reasonable expectation that the car was going to be immobilized, even if his foot slipped off the brake. So
meanwhile, a little girl was hit.
Meanwhile, a little girl was hit. So then the issue is reasonable expectation. So we have passcodes and we have Touch ID with our fingerprints, and we have a reasonable expectation that somebody who picks up our phone isn't going to be able to munch around and look at our contacts unless they have the passcode. So I think that kind of violates the spirit of what Apple was fighting for in terms of privacy. And so that was my analogy for the skeptics who think that these are convenience features. And oh, by the way, the attorney for the car dealer says, well, you know, it's on by default. I don't recall specifically, but I think this feature of Siri on the lock screen comes on by default when you install FreshCopy or buy a new phone, and you have to go in and actively turn it off. I mentioned that in my article too, about, you know, looking around your settings and clamping things down and turning off all these convenience defaults that are turned on because Apple wants you to explore all these new features. So turn them on when you need them instead of turning them on or leaving them on or not examining them at all. But it's so complicated. There's so many features. There's so many settings in the phone. And there's no flowcharts or diagrams or intense analysis of what the impact is. You just have to be an average user and say, I trust that when I put a passcode on my phone, nobody's going to be able to look at my photos and my contacts. So I'm glad Apple fixed it, and I fixed it fast, and they fixed it without requiring an iOS update. Hooray! And maybe that'll set a trend for the future.
Maybe.
Maybe.
But, you know, Apple does tend to favor convenience over security on our devices. And that, I mean, that's been a trend that we've seen for a long time. And then we also have the issue of how do you determine what's the right balance between privacy or privacy and security and convenience? And that is a subjective thing.
Totally. Yeah, you have to pick where it's a continuum, as I always say, right? You could certainly be at one end or the other, right? And because John used the car analogy, I'll use the house analogy. You could have the house that's all brick and you can't get in or out, or you could have maybe a sleeping bag that you lay in the middle of your yard and put all your stuff around it. No house. And one is really convenient because you can just get at your stuff. It's no problem at all.
Right.
Right? But so can everybody else. And it comes with some problems, too, because you're not really protected from it, not only other people, but, you know, the elements. So now you start deciding, okay, well, I want more than this, but I don't want the brick house. So you got to pick where you want to be. And users should have that choice. But to, you know, to John's point, it should be an informed choice, not, and if you're going to start in the middle somewhere, which is of course where we're going to start, right? There needs to be the reasonable expectation that
there you go.
If you know wherever this middle is fits with the general message that you've gotten about this product or the company that makes this product prior to buying it without reading every line of the manual or whatever, you know, or the article in Cart and Driver, or, you know, whatever, doesn't matter. Is the expectation, does it work? Does it seem like my stuff is locked in there? Then it should be locked in there.
Mm-hmm.
If it seems that way to, again, you know, you got to put up the reasonable man argument. Mm-hmm. And okay. Yeah. I think my stuff's locked in there. Awesome. Then you know what? It should be. And there shouldn't be this workaround.
That's agreed.
Mm-hmm. And at least as of last night, there was no longer a workaround.
Yep.
Which is great. But it would have been nice if Apple had thought about this before it became an issue where we have people saying, oh, bad choice in favor of convenience, and other people saying security flaw. I agree. The expectation was that our data, in this case, contacts and photos, were securely tucked away behind a passcode, as opposed to being able to use Siri to just get right at them. So the change now is you do need to authenticate once Siri gets to the point where it's going to directly access contacts or photos. And that's good. I think that's how it should be.
Right, and we have to differentiate some features which are simply intelligent design that provides convenience, and those features which could lead to reasonably expected problems and are turned on by default in a new install. The conservative approach, you say it's a matter of subjective judgment. That's true, Dave, but Apple also can take proactive action in saying we're going to turn the feature off if there's a security, even an imaginable security risk, and let the user enable it at their discretion, as opposed to saying, oh, this could cause a problem, but the feature is so wonderful, we're going to turn it on by default and let you explore a wonderful new feature. That is not a subjective decision. That's a proactive, conservative approach.
All right, so before we jump topics, I'm curious what both of you think. From the average user perspective, is Apple favoring convenience too much over security, or have they hit a reasonable balance? I stumped both of you. All right, John, since you've been all talky, why didn't you start?
Subject, so I was not going to jump in on you.
No, I'm seriously interested. Do you think that Apple, for the average consumer, has hit a good balance between convenience and security, or are they favoring convenience too much?
I think that by turning on some of these features by default means that they're leaning too far towards convenience for the sake of competition and attracting attention and being able to tout convenience against the competition, when in fact they should say, we're going to enable this feature as some people want it, want to learn about it, but it's going to be off by default. And I shouldn't have to go around munging through my settings looking for things that look suspicious and look like they could be a problem and turning them off. So I think the Apple has gone too far.
And Dave, what do you think?
I don't think they've gone too far. And I'm glad, John, I'm glad we have differing opinions on this, because I was curious when you asked the question, which was where my pause came from. I wonder where John and I are going to fall on this in relation to each other. Well, because in a general sense, you tend to be, if we take the continuum, you would tend to trend more towards the security / privacy end of it, and I would trend more towards the convenience end of it. I actually think where things are with Apple, it's there are moments where it's not convenient enough for me. For example, when my phone reboots, why is it that I have to re-log in with my passcode and Touch ID is no longer a valid entry path? And also, why do I need to re-log into the App Store just because my phone rebooted? If I've told it, you can stay logged in. What does a reboot have to do with that? And I know some of those answers. You know, someone could force reboot a phone and perhaps get into a situation where they were hacking it and bypassing the, you know, you get X number of attempts before it's over kind of thing. But I feel like there's another way to solve that problem. You can store a variable that's persistent and then doesn't let you keep doing. Like, it could come up and say, hey, by the way, you've entered the wrong password, you know, three times already. Don't do it again. So, I don't think it's convenient enough with those specific things. In general, the rest of it, yeah, I think. But those couple of things bother the heck out of me.
Okay. Mm-hmm. I'm actually glad you guys didn't fall in line with the same perspective here, because it's great to have the different views on that.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. And it, right. And I feel the way that I feel because I feel that way, not because I feel it's the only one true path.
I'll say something astounding. It comforts me to be inconvenienced because I feel like the phone is protecting me.
I get
How's that for a quote?
That's brilliant. No, and that makes sense. I get it. I totally get it. In fact, it would, if that weren't true, I would wonder why you care. Like, I would ask you, do you really care so much about security, or is it, you know, just something you like to say? But the fact that you're comforted by it supports, yeah, okay, well then you awesome. Great. Sweet.
Yeah.
I would like a feature that let me keep the if it, you know, when I enter my App Store password, if it said, hey, do you want to let this persist across reboots? Here are the risks. Okay. Yeah, I'll take it. Sold. Thanks.
You know why I said that, Dave?
I do.
Because I'm the James May of the Mac Observer.
All right, so what's next, Jeff?
Okay, so next, we're going to stick with the security theme today. And next is the news that WhatsApp now offers full end-to-end encryption across all devices. And previously, WhatsApp was offering full end-to-end encryption just on Android. But as of a couple days ago, that's expanded to all users that are using WhatsApp. And if you're not familiar with WhatsApp, it's think of it sort of like like the Messages app we have on the Mac and iPhone and iPad, but it's a cross-platform version of that.
Yeah. Yeah, digital messages, not SMS. And SMS is digital too, I guess. But yeah, cross-platform messages, and now end-to-end encrypted. That's awesome.
That is awesome. And I think it's also a really big thing, because as far as I know, we haven't had a what I'll call a mainstream app that offers messaging with full end-to-end encryption that's truly cross-platform until now. And if I'm wrong, I would love to know, but I don't know if I am.
No, I think you're right about that. Yeah.
Yeah. I want to launch the discussion by adding a different perspective to this, Jeff.
Okay.
It all came up when we were in the throes of the FBI and Apple before FBI withdrew its demand. And I was thinking, what is it about the FBI's approach which makes them think that this isn't an attack on the business model of just about every company that sells consumer products? And you would think that they would take a more circumspect approach and say, you know, we are trying to force through law and court order something that could be tremendously damaging to the business model of just about every company that sells consumer products that are encrypted. And as soon as I saw this article about WhatsApp, I said, ah, bingo, here's the expected reaction. We're going to increase our security for the satisfaction and safety and security of our customers. So it kind of creates an odd situation where the FBI had claimed that they wanted to solve this one particular case at the time they were saying that, and were ready to risk the entire business viability of Apple Computer and possibly other companies. And it's always still perplexed me that the government would be so callous with the business interests when, if you look at the current day politics, in general, except for, you know, intelligent regulation and oversight, the business of America is business. I think Teddy Roosevelt said that. And we want strong, viable companies in this country, you know, making money and paying taxes and making America prosperous. And yet in that one instance, there was this desire to threaten the whole thing. And even more interesting is the response of the community, especially Apple, where we're going to clamp down even more. So it's kind of a strange situation.
It is. Dave, what do you think?
Well, WhatsApp, I believe, yeah, is the most popular messaging app that exists out there, right? I mean, it not so much in the U.S. as over in Asia, I think. But I don't wear my tinfoil hat on this one as much as, but I do agree that, you know, it's sort of an obvious transition. Okay, we've got this really popular app. Hey, guess what? People are talking about security a lot. We ought to go ahead and make sure that we really are secure end to end. And is it end to end now? WhatsApp is mainly, we call it a cross-platform app, but it's mainly a mobile cross-platform app. They have a web, right? They have a web component that lets you do this on your Mac. And then there's some non-official apps that basically are, as I understand it, web wrappers inside an app, just to make your life a little easier to use WhatsApp that way. Is the web version also now end-to-end encrypted?
I'm not completely certain, but based on the way they worded their announcement,
yeah,
I'm betting it is.
Okay.
Because the statement they made was all devices, all platforms, and there was no statement about, but we're excluding the web.
Yeah, well, then that's probably correct. Yes. Yeah. Well, that's good. Yeah, that's good.
Yeah, I think it's really great. And I think that even though this is something they'd been working towards for a year, the timing is excellent because it fits in beautifully with the discussions we've been having over the past few weeks about whether or not the government should be able to access our encrypted communications or any of our encrypted data. And it also fits in nicely with the notion that if you force a company to break its own encryption, then the people that are savvy enough to understand why they would want encryption are simply going to move to other apps to maintain that. And WhatsApp's a perfect example of that.
Yeah, of course. Right. Yeah. And that's true. It does kind of open, it alleviates Apple somewhat that there's this very, very popular, arguably more popular than iMessage platform now that, hey, guess what? It's also end-to-end encrypted. So, why are you beating on our door? This is a losing battle.
Yes. Yes. And, we are out of time. But before we wrap up, I just wanted to note, yesterday we had what turned out to be a very controversial topic in the whole subscription model versus perpetual model for software licensing. I invited Greg Scown from Smile Software on to be part of that discussion. I could have done the discussion with just Dave and John and me, but I thought that was going to add a really nice perspective to get a developer involved, especially one that was in the middle of the whole debate in that moment. So I thought that was going to be great for listeners, and I hope that you guys thought it was too. And yeah, there you go. I think it was just a great thing for everyone all the way around. Dave, thank you for being here today.
My pleasure. Thanks for having me.
John, thank you for being here too.
You're welcome. It was fun.
Yeah, it was fun. Listeners, thank you for joining again today. And thanks for all the feedback you're giving, because it's absolutely awesome to get to hear your perspective on all the things we discuss. We'll see everyone again tomorrow.